Hey, this is a podcast. No, wait, it's a comedy podcast. Well, we tried to make it a comedy podcast. And it's not meant to offend anyone. So don't get offended, okay? And wait, there's something else. Oh, yeah. Listener discretion is advised.
Audiomatic presents Our Last Week.
Hi, Kunal.
Hi, Paul.
Now, you and I were talking about this. I have to travel every weekend to do shows. And you are currently rehearsing for something. And you were saying that for the first time, you are in the city you live in and going to almost like an office and coming home.
Yeah.
And working in the city you live in. You're not flying around every weekend. How does that feel?
It feels great. It's so good. It's very close to my house, so I just drive there in the morning. I'm back in the evening by 5:30. It feels like a job, it's like how I would have imagined my life, or you know, if I was just doing a 9 to 5. And it feels weird, but somehow stable. Like, you know what you're like, okay, I have to wake up and I have to go, and then I'll be back in the evening. And it's like, what's for dinner? It's like, it's a very It's a very different sort of existence for me.
But you realize that, and I obviously don't have that existence because, you know, I work a lot on the weekends. That during the week, I'm just sitting at home, just doing nonsense. And then I work, you know, in different cities around the world on the weekends. Mm. And something like this to me, I think, would be quite blissful, you know. Mm. And I know a lot of our listeners have normal jobs. Mm. So they will listen to us and say, what are these guys saying? You know, we want to break out and do something, do what they're doing, do a podcast or do comedy. But to us, you know, the golden rainbow is our listeners. They wake up in the morning, they go to a place, how nice, where they have a coffee. Yeah. They know what the next 6 months of their life looks like. They can plan vacations. Isn't that nice?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I think that, you know, you never know the pitfalls till you're in it, right? Like, the grass is greener, all of that. So, I mean, there are great things about, you know, not working on a Tuesday or a Thursday. And, you know, there are great things about that. There are great things. Oh, my time is my own.
Yeah.
Or you think so. You know, like, oh, I can do anything. Like, any night is Saturday for us. Like, you know, it's like that kind of... But it isn't, you know, like, especially like if you have family and if you have, you know, it you fall into the same sort of patterns, and weekend is still a weekend, and it's all of that. So, I think, apart from the work itself, I think, I mean, I'm still going there and rehearsing for something. So I'm still doing something that's within the field that I know a little bit of. But if I was going and doing a normal sort of, I don't know, like a desk job, I don't know how I'd feel. I mean, and if I didn't like it, if I liked the desk job, that's fine. But if I didn't like it, maybe I'd still want to look outside and I'd want that randomness, you know?
Yeah, but there's a very fine line in freelance between saying, I don't work Mondays and I don't have any work at all. You know, that line is very thin. And I guess the reason all of us are so motivated in freelance is you don't want to be that guy who's been sitting at home for 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, like with a large swath of unemployment.
Yeah.
I think that's really... And I think one of the things that the reduced money in freelance has done... Earlier, I think maybe if you're a freelancer and you did one thing, it paid very well. You could do nothing for 6 months, just get fat and old. But I think one of the things that reduced money in freelance has done is it keeps you on your toes. That's why I think producers around the world, you know, Netflix down, like to cheat artists because they keep us on their toes. They know that if we give any of these people a big paycheck, you know, they'll never work again.
Basically, it's day labor.
Day labor. Keep us not starved. But on the edge of starvation, but with the possibility of being a millionaire. See, that's the thing about the arts. It's like Bombay in many ways. You know, it's like one more highway and we're done.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that that this kind of living on the edge, you know, on the fringes of survival, it's like you don't know whether it's going to be, you know, Eid or Roza, as they say.
Yeah. You know, freelancers are such good hustlers, you know, like that is why I say a great actor. You know, people say, why are so many actors, you know, so bowing before politicians? You know, why don't actors say things against the government? Or, you know, why don't more artists stand up? Because the powers that be keep all artists just on the edge of, like, poverty. You know, like, just... But they give them a lot of money, but they also keep them quite poor. So,
yeah.
So the artist never knows, like, if I piss off the government, this can go overnight.
Yeah. It's the threat of poverty. It's not the poverty. It's the, I mean, it's the fear, right? Like, it's the fear that everything can be taken away from you.
Correct.
That's what keeps it, yeah.
Which the mid-level coder at Cognizant does not have that fear. You know, like, his boss is not coming and saying, this is your bonus, we've paid you every year. You know, if you say one thing about the government, we may take away your last 6 years' bonuses. They don't say that to him, right? First of all, he's already spent those bonuses, so he doesn't have the money. But he doesn't have that worry. Whereas with us...
Because nobody cares what he says, really. That's the only difference. Because his opinion doesn't matter, no? And like, nobody, like the public at large are not keen to know what he has to say or she has to say. Whereas in the case of a celebrity, of course, everybody wants to know.
But isn't that much nicer? You know, like, don't you, after being famous for so long, want to get to a place where the press are like, Kunal Roy Kapoor, we don't give a shit what you have to say. And won't you be relieved?
No, they don't currently. And that's a good thing. But
they do, though. They do, though. Like, if you went to a thing... Say you are in your house right now, you're not at a thing. But if you were at a thing, people would ask you. People would not go up to the junior developer at Cognizant. Say you're at a film premiere, they'd go to you.
Sure.
Say, what do you think of this Mandir? Or what do you think of the budget? Or they'll ask you. At that, let's say you look at that Cognizant guy in the audience and think, you know, that Cognizant guy is probably, I don't know why I'm picking Cognizant. You know, he's probably a listener of our last week. You're like, I want to switch places with you, man.
Yeah.
So, I guess what we're saying is, if any of our listeners want to take over from us and want to give us their day jobs, I'd be up for it.
You know, the thing is that you figure that in the grand scheme of things, your opinion, does it count for anything?
It doesn't. Really? That's what we realized after all these years. It doesn't really.
Yeah.
So, you might as well...
It doesn't matter, right?
You might as well just be at... Because everyone has an opinion now.
No, you might as well, I mean, I'm not saying toe the line, but you might as well not say anything, right?
Yeah, and then if we're not saying anything as artists, then we might as well have a monthly income.
But then are you like, but then people saying that, you know, your duty as an artist or your, but is it your duty as an artist? Like, what if you're a clown? Or what if you're like say, I'm pretty much a clown,
yeah,
right? Like,
yeah.
Whatever.
But whose duty are you fulfilling? Like, who will you let down if you did not do your clowning on the 15th of February? You know, it's like that. Like, sometimes I think, like, for example, in my case, there's a financial and legal cost to it. Because let's say I take someone's money, I have a show tomorrow, and I don't show up. Then I've cheated them. It's different. But as long as you're not cheating them, which people, artists have done also, and very successfully. If you are not cheating them, then you have no other duty.
No.
Right? Like, I'm saying, say tomorrow you're in a theatrical production and you tell yourself, I don't want to do it. Maybe the producer and director will say, but you have a duty to your audience. But do you really? You know, like, say your audience shows up and they're like, today, instead of Kunal Roy Kapoor in Shakespeare, we are going to watch three penguins dancing. The audience will be fine.
Yeah. I mean, they'll complain a little while, but then they'll say that middle penguin was the best.
Correct. So that, like, what duty, you know, like that,
yeah.
It was filled. The duty was filled.
Yeah.
I have a follow-up conundrum. We didn't discuss this, but I want to discuss it with you, Kunal. which is, how do you feel about, like, I think that we've talked about this a little on the podcast earlier. I think nowadays it has to be something really important for you to make a phone call, you know? One of the most annoying things for me is when somebody calls me for something that's a WhatsApp. You know, someone's like, hey, guys, listen, just checking, the 10th dinner, can we push it to the 17th? That's a WhatsApp. That's not a call.
It's not a full call.
That's not a full call. And I think that it's time for us to tell the caller, this shouldn't have been a call. You know, I'm really sorry.
Why didn't you just message me?
Yeah, this should have been a message. You know, I feel like we're not letting the other person know, and they're taking a lot more chances.
It's like when people would write letters when it could have been a phone call.
Yeah.
Like if the letter just says, "Hi, how are you? Let's meet at 9.
Yeah.
On Friday. Okay. Bye." Yeah. Now, if you wrote a letter.
Yeah.
When there was a phone call.
Yeah.
And said, "Why did you write me a letter? I had to open it, then I had to read it, then I had to throw it away. You could have just called me. You could have just called me and told me." I think it's the same now with the message. Why did you call me? You could have just messaged me.
See, that's the thing. Like Victorian era correspondence, right? Earlier 20th century, when you sat down in your house and your butler or servant or whatever brought you all your correspondence. You know, like, I always worry about that era, you know, 1910, 1915, because you got a pile of letters. And there's so much information you don't have till you open the letter. It could be anything from the Titanic has sunk and some family members have died, to you're bankrupt, you invested in the Grand Railroads and it's all, the investment is wasted, to, hey, Papa, I'm coming home, and that's from 4 months ago. Your son has sailed on a ship and he might show up at your doorstep. Like, there's no control over the time of the letter. So you're getting information from yesterday and you're getting information from 6 years ago. You know, I find that quite fascinating. You know, the correspondence that hits you every day in Victorian times, the gravity of it could be tiny or huge. It could be as little as, can you please make sure that your hedge is cut? I'm tired of telling your gardener. Two, you know, all your crops in Africa have burned down and your investments are ruined. You know, please come immediately. And that letter was written 4 months ago. So,
and it'll now take you 6 months to get
6
there.
6 months to get there. So I always feel like...
I'm coming. Send it.
That'll take another 4 months. Because it'll go to India. There'll be a guy. It'll get off an elephant. You give it to a runner who'll run across a whole country, hopefully not be eaten by tigers, and then give that letter. You know, like, so... I don't know. I just think that now it reaches the other person so quickly that time has become quite specific.
I think that firstly, at that time, there must have been a great fear of... the letters themselves, right? I mean, there'd be a lot of excitement, but there'd also be fear. So when you sit down at the table and you're going through your mail, there'd be a lot of fear in,
Of course.
What is the mail that I'm getting? Like, what is the message? You don't know, like, you know, there's a government thing, some income tax thing, there's a...
anything.
You know, you don't know. It could be a business-related, family-related. So the fear, and I'm sure that there's a clinical term also for a fear of letters. There must be. There has to be.
There must be. And also some that, you know, like, there's got to be a letter saying, arriving Thursday, you know, from 10 months ago.
Yeah.
And Thursday was 2 days ago, and you've just got the letter. And you think to yourself, that guy didn't come on Thursday. What happened to him? You know, and like, but it's from 10 months ago, the original letter. So you don't even know, like, where you should look for him. You know, so the concept of time was very confusing, I think.
It was very different, the concept of time. Like, just, you know, how it would stretch out over a... But I think that one thing that can be done is that now, like, it is one way to go, is that if we had all our correspondence, our emails and messages... printed out and kept on our table.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
That's one way to go back to that. Like, say, all your WhatsApp messages, you don't read on your phone.
Yeah.
A printout of it comes and lies on your desk.
Yeah.
And then you have to rummage through it.
Yeah.
And you have to read each WhatsApp message as a printout.
Yeah. And then respond by hand.
Respond by hand.
3
and then,
p.m. is, you know, fine.
Yeah. That's one way.
Or someone sends you two photos of two checks saying this one or this one. And he says, write back this one. And then you tell your guy, suno, wo photo attach karo. Or phir bolo this one.
This one bolo. But I did hear of someone who did have all the, because they were just not comfortable with the computer and reading it on the computer.
Yes.
You know, their messages and all. So there was a person who had all their mail printed out and kept.
Excellent.
But there was a lot of bump also, you know, Zomato offers, all of that, because there'd be a, like 40,000 printouts of that, and then you'd have to get like one or two other things.
So he would literally have junk mail, like not junk email, but junk mail.
Yeah, mail. It would be physicalized.
Kya print out kiya? Fir kya print out? Viagra, Viagra. Peko isko.
Yeah.
Ye wala likha ro jo dikha, whole family dead. Wo wala dikhao mujhe. Kunal.
Yes.
Went to a concert this weekend.
Hmm.
The Lollapalooza concert in Bombay.
Lola. Lollapalooza is something that happens in Bihar.
Lollapalooza. That's the concert I should have been in. Lollapalooza.
That's Lollapalooza.
Lollapalooza I should definitely attend. I think that involves some sort of cow fodder corruption, I think.
Correct. The bands are very different over there.
Slightly different band, yeah. Slightly more thefty. Question, the main band, Sting, right? There's a main guy there, Sting, famous.
Hmm.
Now, he sung a lot of songs everybody knew. There was a band called Keen and a band called One Republic. People knew their songs. But say the bands that were playing at 5 o'clock, 4:30, nobody knew them, right? They were just playing in a massive field. And people just walking around trying to understand what's going on, this, that. And the band kept saying, you know our songs, come on, sing along with us, come on, you know us. And I've heard this, you know, at unknown Indian bands also at music festivals saying, guys, we're going to play our hit, you know, Rudraksh. Everyone sing along. And they're a totally unknown band, no one knows the song. And then I feel bad because the lead singer puts the mic up, you know, hoping to get the crowd to sing in unison. And it's not Summer of 69. Not everybody knows it, you know. So there isn't any unison, you know, thing coming back. And I think to myself, how does the band get over the embarrassment? It's quite embarrassing.
Yeah, it is. It is, I guess. I mean, it would be a lot like us going to one of these things and, you know, shouting out to our listeners. It would be a lot like that. We have listeners around the world. I'm sure these bands have a lot of fans that are scattered over the country and over the world.
Yeah.
You know, but they all haven't congregated at the same time and place. This, like, you know, it's like us. Like, say we have a whatever.
Good evening, Sydney.
Listeners.
Good evening, Sydney.
You know this part of our conversation, like, you know, so it's like if we were to do something like that, you know, and shout out into a crowd of like 10,000 people or whatever it is, maybe 5 people would know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't think the others would really. But I think with a band, see, a lot of people when they're going for like these things, and I think this is what happens, like it's a khichdi of bands, like, and I think that's how they kind of package this thing, is that you'll know one or two, you won't know like most of them. But then, you know, then before you're buying the ticket, so then people end up doing a little research. Like I did a little research on the band. Like there was a band called Jungle, right? And they've got a few dance hits, you know, that have been quite popular. And they're a nice band, a groovy band, all of that. But I didn't know of the band. So someone said, yeah, so Jungle will be playing before. I said, what is Jungle? They said, then I'll do a little research.
Yeah, easy nowadays.
So I think a lot of people do a little research before, you know, saying, okay, who are these? Like, what am I listening to? What am I going to be standing there for? And it's good. It's fun. It's like I was into this thing. It was good. But there are some when you do the research and you get scared also.
Yeah, they're like, I hope they don't play it. Yeah. But also I like when bands that don't have a following and they've been touring for a number of years, they get angry at the audience. You know, I like that also. I like a little bit of confrontation. Because when Keen came on, they said, you know, we're very polite. We're a small band from East Sussex. And we're just so happy that we have an audience here. Thank you for knowing our songs, right? And I thought, what if there was a band who was unhappy? And the audience did not know all the songs. So Keane said, if you know our songs, please sing along. Some people sung along. They have one song that everyone knows. Somewhere Only We Know, that one song that everybody knows. People sung along. But the other songs, they don't know. So they couldn't sing along. But he did that mic thing. He pointed the crowd, saying when the chorus came, you know, typically chorus came. And he pointed the crowd. Obviously, it's not Sweet Child of Mine. It's not Everything You Do, I Do It For You. Like, it's not a song every, it's not Piano Man. It's not a song everyone knows. So do it to the crowd, and the crowd went, yeah. Like, they don't know what to do. They don't know the fucking song. And he took the mic saying, it's never mind, you know, I guess it'll take a few more trips to come back to India. You know, so he was quite apologetic. But what if there was a band singer who was like, you bastards, you couldn't have done more homework, you assholes. You know, like, what if he got angry? You know, that's what I think also sometimes.
Yeah, I heard a little bit of that JPEG mafia. There was a lot of anger there. There was a JPEG something. So, a little bit. I mean, I couldn't judge too much. But I know that there was a lot of anger in the performance. And I don't know whether it was anger at the crowd.
Yeah.
Or it was anger at them not knowing his songs. Or whether he's just an angry sort of performer. I think there's a certain anger. But I like that. I like conflict. You know, I like it when...
I like conflict.
Like, people fight. I like... Like, we've discussed this before. Like, when... Especially when band members start fighting with the crowd. You know?
Yeah. You know, like, sometimes when we do the podcast, it hurts. Because we're like, you know, we've been doing this nearly 10 years. Point is, by now you think... There's a large accumulation, but it's the same group of people. We've all grown up together over the years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so now it hurts because the audience also wants us to do something different. We want the audience to do something different. So now it's like a marriage, you know, it's like a long marriage where we're just bitter.
You know, that happens also in a relationship with an artist. I mean, or with any performer.
Yeah.
Is that you like the person, you like the artist, then you start hating the artist. Like, why do I like them? They're doing the same thing. Yeah. I don't want to like them anymore. You know, and it becomes like a relationship. You know, how did I like these people? Or how did I like this woman or this guy? You know? And it's like, oh God, I'm so over that phase. You know, like, it's like, and I think that's bound to happen to our listeners as well, right? Like,
and absolutely.
And us, yeah. Like, they'll like us for a while. I mean, at different times, different people. And then they'll hate us. Yeah. Hate, you know?
I'll tell you a podcast not to listen to. I'll tell you.
Not. Don't listen to these guys.
Yeah.
I used to like them, but they just went downhill. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? They're the same shit. You know, like, it'll be...
Every week they come and talk about their last week. Are that's the name of the podcast. Yeah. What else can we do? Kunal, last conundrum. Very quick conundrum.
Yes.
Friend sent this in, had a question. He said, I wanted to hold the door open for my boss. She was staying at a 5-star hotel, but it was a revolving door. So rather than try to hold the door open, I got into that little area that was already revolving. Because it's circular, it's cut in four parts. So I got into a little, you know, revolving a wedge. And I just kept moving with her. So what was supposed to be chivalry and respectful ended up being inappropriate. Because I was just ended up being very close to her when I didn't want to be. Is there any way to hold the door open in a revolving door?
No, if you hold the door open, then you're stopping the door, basically.
You need a door that's not moving.
Yeah. If you're holding a revolving door, means you're stopping someone's entry.
Yeah. Is there any way in a revolving door to be chivalrous? Like, because it's revolving. So, I guess you can't even tell the other person, you carry on, I'll come after you. There's a split second decision.
There's a certain fear that and trepidation that you always approach a revolving door with.
Yeah.
You know. And I think that a revolving door is one where... If you go first, it's not looked at as you're being rude. Because you are like the guinea pig for the revolving door, you know. And when you make it out to the other side, you can do a gentle nod to the person who's about to enter saying it's safe.
So, you're saying the only way to be chivalrous is to go ahead, revolve.
Go ahead, revolve.
Come out on the other side and wait for the other person to revolve.
Yeah.
See, he made a mistake. He wasn't thinking. He got into the revolving door thinking, I'll leave the door open. Then he got jacked. He's like, shit, this is a revolving door. Then he started revolving with her in very close proximity. And then they both got spit out. And he had no chance to show that he's a gentleman and he was just helping her evolve. But you've answered it, I think. What you're saying is you revolve first.
You should
You cross
first.
The river and then you you let her evolve, saying it's all fine.
Because, you know, there's always that little, is my arm going to be
stuck
in this thing?
Yeah. See, this is why people should listen to this podcast. Groundbreaking insight.
Revolving doors is the opposite of, you know, what a static door.
What a door
the
is.
The rules are all the rules are all inversed.
Yeah, anyone can do a static door, but how many can do a revolving?
A revolving door. So revolving door etiquette is a different thing.
Yeah, some are not born for it. Some are not ready.
No, some are not cut out.
This has been Our Last Week, Kunal.
It has.
And we should tell our listeners, if you do live in Bombay, listeners, and you want to go and see Kunal live, he's going to be in a play.
Yes.
From the 15th of February.
Yes, it's on from the 15th to the 18th at the NCPA Experimental. So do come and watch.
Please go and watch him. I plan to go and watch him. NCPA has no revolving doors. For our listeners. Yeah, so you won't get stuck. If you go with your boss, she won't get stuck either. And send us, watch the play. And even if you don't watch the play, send us conundrums at ourlastweek@audiomatic.in.
That's the place.
Yeah. And very soon, we'll be doing a listener conundrum, hopefully live next week together, Kunal.
Yes, most definitely. And we will be answering your conundrums. So if you do have any, please do send them in.
Done.
You were listening to Our Last Week, produced by Akanksha Kadam and Avdhoot Khanolkar, hosted by Anubhav Pal and Kunal Roy Kapoor.